The American Lung Association's Lung Helpline has an adult asthma self-management program, which helps people understand and seek treatment for their asthma. Lung Health Navigators help people understand their asthma, practice effective communication with healthcare providers, and modify lifestyles to prevent symptoms. This is the only program available proving results in less severe asthma, fewer respiratory problems, and a better ability to stick to treatment plans. Enroll. Call 866-252-2959. Weekdays 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruin, and joining me once again is Shay Dixon. Here a couple hours after the final in Tiger Stadium, 42-30, LSU defeats Texas A&M. Obviously, a lot of takeaways from this in the big picture and in the immediate. But where do you want to start?
Well, a 7-0 record at home, 9-3 on the year, and what I had called the most important game of the Kelly era so far, which started before I even listed off all of the reasons, which is you have to win. They did. They came back. They won. They buckled in. We can break down different elements. I know it's the last game of the season. It was kind of same song and dance on D. They finally got some stops in the end, but Jaden and them come alive in the second half. And Maddie B, I know we'll revisit the game balls here on the reaction pod, but a quick nod to you who picked Malik Nabers, and he goes on to break LSU's 20 plus year old record, or however long it is, from Wendell Davis to the most catches by a player in LSU history. And then what was wild was the emotion from Kyron Lacy after that 75 yard touchdown catch and run by Nabers that was negated, because that would have also given Nabers the all-time receiving yards record for LSU. So he would have had the most catches in history and the most yards in history. He came short, 20 yards short of most yards in history, and after the game said that he wants to play in the bowl, because he said that he wants to break the record, he wants to hold them both, and he wants his 20 yards in the bowl game.
Yeah. A lot to unpack. I mean, I think starting with LSU's offense, you have to preface when talking about this game, you have to talk about how Texas A&M played this game, right? And it was compounded by LSU's defense not being able to get a stop. But I believe in the first half, it was A&M averaging 4.4 yards per play and converting, I believe it was 7 of 11 for third downs. And because of that, Texas A&M was able to control the clock in a way that, you know, we've seen teams try to do to LSU, Georgia State, Auburn, maybe. Obviously, like, Army didn't really have a chance at that. But, like, we've seen teams try to take the ball out of Jaden Daniels' hands, which is the right thing to do. And what was frustrating from a LSU fan perspective is LSU's defense was helpless. It wasn't A&M doing anything special offensively. It was, you know, first and 10, second and 12, and then you get to third and 9. And Jalen Henderson, credit to him, continuously converted on third and longs. And because of that, drives sustained. And we had, 9-minute scoring drive? We had 7-minute scoring drives. And so all of that together means Jaden Daniels and LSU's offense had, I think, 4 possessions in the first half, scored on 2 of them, and went 3 and out on the other 2. And then the second half, third quarter, is the same thing. And finally, the fourth quarter is where it broke open for the LSU offense, and the LSU defense finally got a couple stops. So, you know, when talking about this game, you have to talk about the reason why, you know, Jaden Daniels only had 24 passes, 235 yards, which was it was a fine game from him. But the context is important, because A&M definitely went into this game saying, we are going to slow this game down. And I think they did a really good job of it.
They had drives that, A&M wise, had drives that lasted 9 minutes, 4 minutes, 4 minutes, 4 minutes, 7 minutes. And then you got into the fourth quarter where things completely flipped. LSU in the fourth quarter gets that pick by Greg Penn and then goes touchdown, touchdown, touchdown immediately, then kneel out the game on the fourth possession. A&M, meanwhile, in the fourth quarter, throws that pick, goes backwards on 3 plays, negative 6 yards. That was when I believe Harold Perkins and Deshaun Womack, 2 former 5 stars, came in, got the sack. They had to punt for the first time with about 12 minutes left. they got that TD, but even then, Matty B, that was a 1 minute drive where Omar Spates misses a tackle on a 5 yard dump off to a tight end who then runs untouched the rest of the way for a touchdown. After that, though, one more possession for A&M. They turn it over on downs. So a very nice fourth quarter for LSU's defense. And we sat there next to each other in the press box. We don't need to go on and on about the D. They are what they are. They've been the same all year.
Yeah.
They were taking Harold Perkins off on third downs and running nickel, and A&M just kept picking it up. The second they put Harold Perkins back in on third downs and spied, I'm not sure A&M got another third down. Like, it baffled me how they were taking him off the field.
Yeah. In the first six drives of the game that went through three quarters, so every drive in the first three quarters ended with turnover on downs, which was the dropped pass, which, you know, maybe they score on that drive, maybe they don't, but turnover on downs, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown, missed field goal. That was the first three quarters of the game. And that explains why A&M through three quarters had the lead. They went up, was it 24-14 in the second half? And it didn't feel like LSU's defense was going to find anything. Eventually, like you said, I think they found something. Brian Kelly talked about their cover two stuff that they've never ran before and finally pulled it out in the second half of the last game of the season. Harold Perkins is on the field more. Deshaun Womack makes a play. All of this. And, you know, Jalen Henderson finally makes a mistake, throws an interception. I thought he played very, very well. I mean, the receivers were open. You know, it's not like he was being Jaden Daniels out here.
No. But, LSU was getting a ton of pressure, though, on him, too. And he would run backwards and then kind of just heave it up. And you'd be like, how's that guy open? Or, you know, it felt like that. Like, we talked about it in the live thread. It was eventually going to lead to a pick or some sort of bad play because it was too many in a row where LSU would get pressure and he would scramble around, just throw something up and it would work. And Greg Penn obviously got that pick. You laid out that third quarter for A&M. They come out of halftime and score, and then they're up. And the third quarter, obviously, it felt like, oh, man, LSU's down 10. Like, they've got to get it going. That was when that missed field goal was when Harold Perkins got to stay in on third down. He got the pressure on second. He brought down Jalen Henderson on third down. They had to kick the field goal. They missed it. And that's when I felt like the game really turned. And that's when LSU sort of took over and did their thing and got a few more stops on three of the final four drives. And that was more than enough to win by 12.
Yeah. Fourth quarter, Jaden Daniels and this offense took over. Touchdown to Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, and Kyron Lacy all in the last quarter. Like you said, Malik could have had two. The play where Kyron's called for holding, which you can debate or not whether it's holding or not. Regardless, it takes nothing away from what Malik Nabers just did on that play alone. It was reminiscent of last year against Purdue, the sweep play that he just took and made something out of nothing. He is going to be in the NFL for a really long time. That guy is special.
He is a problem. So let's flip it over to offense real quick. Jaden Daniels, we talked about Malik Nabers already, sets LSU's all-time career receptions mark, number one on the list for most catches by a player in LSU history. And think about all the great receivers that have come through here, not just recently, but in the history of the program. A Louisiana native and Nabers now gets that top spot. And as I said, he said, I want to play in the bowl game because I want 20 more yards and I want that record too. I want to have them both. And I'll have an article up on the Bengal Tiger later, but with all of his quotes, but he said, look, I've never left the team out to dry. I've never missed a game. I've never sat on them. And I don't want to for the bowls. So this is a first rounder talking like that. So that's the level of buy-in you want. But Daniels, and you mentioned it at the start, you kind of even said this in the preview pod, 355 total yards, four touchdowns. And you're like, it's a solid game for most quarterbacks. That would be the best game they played all year. 335 and four touchdowns for Jaden is just, that's an okay game. That's a normal game. Solid.
Yeah. What? 355.
355. Yeah.
Yeah. And this was why, you know, going into the game, I think on the final line stuff, people are like, oh, you know, I'm, you know, I'll tell you, what about the Jaden Daniels over what 320 passing yards or something? I was like, we knew the A&M defense was going to come out and be aggressive. That was what we knew was going to happen. And when that's the case, you kind of have to, your margin of error is obviously slimmer, but you can get kind of rattled as a quarterback. It doesn't matter who you are. If you have pressure in your face from the opening drive, you're going to miss a throw or two that you don't usually miss. I mean, that's any quarterback ever. And so, yeah, Daniels missed a couple balls that he usually makes, and it was a slower start for the offense. But I do think the Brian Kelly mentioned after the game, the offensive line played a lot better in the second half. And because of that, Daniels had a little bit more time. He was able to step into a couple throws, and they kind of figured out the A&M defense, and they were able to take those one-on-one shots where the receivers made some plays. So credit to Daniels. And then obviously you get to his legs where when nothing was there, I mean, of the 120 yards, what, almost all of them were scrambles, right? I mean, there's
there were in a couple really design key situations.
Yeah, so
I mean, there was a fourth down where he ran for 50 yards. I mean, he was
– that play flipped the game. That was the game, because if they didn't get that, they were still down 10 at the time in the third quarter. He runs for 50 yards, and they score on the play, and they never really looked back at that moment. That was the play of the game for me, Jaden Daniels. And that would have been another Heisman moment if he had gotten in the end zone. I think it still is, but like that would have been on ESPN, everything like that. So he's – yeah, that was the play of the game.
To sum up, Daniels in the Heisman race finishes the regular season with more yards per game and a better passer rating than any quarterback that's ever won the Heisman Trophy, or any player, I should say, too. And only second to Joe Burrow in scoring, who won the Heisman by the widest margin of votes in the history of the trophy. But Daniels sets an NCAA record for regular season passer efficiency, 50 total touchdowns. He probably could have, if they wanted to, try to get him some running ones in this one, but they gave it to Diggs and Josh Williams when they got down inside the goal line and the running back scored. But regardless, 50 total touchdowns on the year, and then only 54 yards short of 5,000 total yards on the season. Obviously, he rushed for 1,000, well over 1,000, and passed for well over 3,500. So an unbelievable season. Will it be Heisman worthy? We'll see. I just checked the odds again just now. They have not moved since last night when Bo Nix pulled back ahead into, you know, minus 110 or 20 or whatever it was, and Daniels moved to plus 110. But Nick still has a game next week, so we'll see what kind of the hype of the week does between both guys and see how Nick fares in a week. But there will be no doubt that Daniels will be in New York City for the Heisman ceremony.
And you know, the craziest thing to me was LSU's, we talked about this going into the game, was could LSU run the ball with its running backs? The answer was no. Texas A&M's front was far too good to do that. And Logan Diggs into the game, 5 carries, 17 yards. Noah Cain, 3 carries, 12 yards. Josh Williams, 6 carries, 6 yards. So add all that up, we're talking about an offense or a running game that had 14 carries for 35 yards with those three backs. So
yeah, one of the biggest play calls I thought though was when Den Brock on 3rd and 6 or 5, kind of with the game on the line, didn't put it in the hands of Daniels, didn't throw it,
yeah,
but gave it to Logan Diggs, and the Aggies didn't see it coming, and Diggs picks up 6-7 yards, and they move the chains and go on to score.
Yeah, 6 yards. That was the longest run of a running back.
And it was the biggest.
And it was the biggest. Yeah, I thought Denbrock actually had a really good, like, once they figured out the blitz after, I mean, the first half was rough for everybody, but like once they figured it out, I thought they did a good job adjusting. So credit to him. Daniels, I mean, I thought this was a really, really impressive performance. To, you're not going to pass for 400 yards against this defense, and for him to fight back, for anybody who watched the game, and I assume if you have a Heisman vote, you're watching all of the Knicks games. You're watching all of the Daniels games. Like, you're going back doing your homework. If you watch this game, you understand the context, and I think he just put the team on his back again. So credit to him. Credit to Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas. Obviously, the touchdown catch was phenomenal in the corner. Overall, a good offense performance. 42 points against this defense is really, really impressive.
Well, that's what Brian Kelly said after the game, was that when they asked about what kind of performance is this Heisman worthy, you know, or final statement. And he said, look, to put up over 350 and 4 touchdowns against a top 10 defense like this is very impressive. And A&M has a very good defense. So took them a while to get going, but boy, when they clicked, it was over with. And shout out to the D, who stopped 3 of the 4 final drives, came up with plays that were big enough to keep A&M at bay and give LSU the 12-point win. A quick shout out to My Perfect Franchise, who Maddie B, we've been rocking with every reaction podcast. Andy Ludicky does a great job over there, and we've sent a lot of business his way. But if you go to myperfectfranchise.net, you can find out more as Andy says, it's in the name. Are you ready to leave the corporate rat race for the American dream? Looking for the side hustle while you're at your current job? Just wanting to diversify, build wealth, leave a legacy? That's what Andy's here for. He's a franchise consultant. He's a franchise owner. And he's helped people for decades find franchises that fit their skill sets, the financial requirements you might have, whatever you're willing to invest, however much time you have to invest, all of that. And the best part, services are 100% free. So to call him, 404-973-9901. That's 404-973-9901. Or email him at andy@myperfectfranchise.net. And you can get things rolling. And like I said, Andy tells us all the time, no matter how big or small you might want to invest or what kind of your passion is, but you don't know how to get it off the ground or what direction you should take it, it's free to call him. He'll walk you through everything. He's done it, like I said, for decades. So he's more than happy to take your call, your email, and he gets back to you quickly. So shout out to Andy in the final podcast, reaction podcast of the year, for sponsoring us each time. So give him a shout, 404-973-9901 or andy@myperfectfranchise.net. Maddie B, we can revisit game balls. I know on offense, I went Jaden, you went Malik. I think you win.
I think so. Yeah, right? Especially if you would have got the other records. One. Yeah, especially if you would have gotten the other touchdown. That would have been a big one. But yeah, Malik Nabers, like I said before, I'm trying to figure out a way to trade up in my Dynasty Fantasy League to get him on my team to join Jamar and Justin. So that's the goal.
The All-LSU team. Malik finishes with 6 catches, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had a touchdown called back for 75 yards, but a phenomenal showing per usual. Leads the nation in receiving yards. That continues. He's phenomenal. Will he win a Biletnikoff? We'll see. It's probably him versus Marvin Harrison at Ohio State. I didn't see Harrison's stat line from today yet. I guess we could Google it real quick. But
I heard he played well. I don't know, but I heard he played well.
Yeah, but Nabers certainly will be in that mix to win the Biletnikoff with Daniels in the mix to potentially win a Heisman. Defense, you went with who? So I went with
Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison had 5 for 118 and a tutty. So
that's a solid game and a very, very big matchup, but they lost.
Yes. So similar stat lines. But I'm sorry, you said, what were you saying?
Well, you got the nod on offense. You picked Malik. On defense, my MVP I picked was Braden Swenson. I thought coming off the bench, he would have a big game. He did have a couple of tackles. He had a tackle for loss. But Ovie Ogofu, who he plays behind, had a couple tackles for a loss, both of them being sacks. So Shout out to Ovie. He's the one who actually stepped up there at the Jack linebacker position. Who were you rocking with on D in this one?
I went with the man who almost got thrown out of the game on a targeting call, Sage Ryan. Let's just say if he would have got thrown out on that targeting call, the place might have burned down. I might have burned it down. I couldn't believe it. Oh, Jesus. Oh.
Sage played fine. He had a solid game, did not get kicked out. On the play you're talking about, the targeting, he led with the shoulder, just a clean hit shoulder to shoulder. Just looked a little more violent in real time than when you slowed it down. You saw that it was just a nice hit.
Yeah, so that counts as a PBU. I they don't have that as a PBU in the official stats, I guess, but I'm counting that as a pass breakup. So a pass breakup, a tackle for loss. So good game from Sage, I guess, overall. Yeah, I think probably Ovie had a career game in the last game of his career.
Ovie had a really nice game. I think it's got to go to Harold Perkins because when they started leaving him in, he was unbelievable. And he finished with the team high in tackles. He and Andre Sam had 9, but he led the way with solo tackles 6. He was in sack with Womack. And then he led the way with 1.5 tackles for loss. He also had a quarterback hurry that was really clutch to set up that sack. So I think you got to give it to Harold that once they kept him in on third downs, the game was over with.
Greg
Penn had a pick that was very big for him.
Yeah, so.
And Greg Penn had a sack. He pushed him out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage, but it's a sack.
A sack and an interception. So I think there's a little debate there. I think you could debate that. But yeah, those are the two for me.
We went Bramplett and Ramos on special teams. Bramplett, 3 punts, average of 43, hit a long of 46. You wanted one inside the 20. He didn't get it. I went Ramos. Ramos didn't have a field goal, but he did make his extra points, which makes him perfect on the year. He made every single extra point this season when a year ago, obviously, extra points were not even a given for this LSU special team. So nice to see them turn that around. Javon Nicholas did have a return and the return game for 27 yards. I'm not sure if we're giving it to anyone or do you Bramplett wins it or is it just the special teams unit in general for keeping a guy like Anaya Smith one for minus 4 yards on punt returns. He's one of the most dangerous punt returners in the country. Shout out long snapper Slade Royd, who got down there and
I was going to say that was
hit and then pulled him down 4 yards backwards on the only chance that he Anaya Smith got all game.
Yeah. So Slade Royd, shout out, but yeah, I'd say probably Bramblett and Javon Nicholas.
Or Slade Royd.
Or Slade Royd. Shout out Slade.
A year's right. worth of nice, perfect snaps, and then he gets that tackle. We got to give him some love.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly did say, though, for everyone who's wondering about coaching changes or whatever, he said, look, we're done with the regular season now. The evaluation is going to go from me to my staff to my personnel department, and I'm going to find out ways where we were deficient and what we need to change and where it goes from there. So anybody asking about or curious to if there's firings or they're moving on from guys, well, I think we'll know more in the coming weeks. Right now, I think they're just going to celebrate the victory, do a little recruiting, and then shift towards some self-reflection as they get ready for signing day.
Yeah. It feels weird not having a, you know, I mean, there's a bowl game, but we don't know when the bowl game is yet. So, but overall, I don't know what to expect from a bowl game as far as who's playing. And I would expect most like seniors to play, but will Daniels play? How much will Neighbors and Thomas play if they do play? So yeah, it's going to be, I just want to see the matchup, honestly, because we've talked about before getting to 10 wins is a big deal. And we saw last year how they approached the bowl game was very serious, no nonsense, you know, they want to win the game. And I think it's going to be the same mindset this year. So I'm looking forward to, hopefully they get a good game and it can further, you know, put it on their resume.
Back-to-back 10 win seasons is still on go as a possibility here, which would be big. As I said, we'll see what happens with the Heisman and Biletnikoff. We'll see what happens with the bowl. And next weekend, conference championship weekend, the Monday after that, or is it the Sunday? One of the two. Is when the transfer portal opens. So kids can maybe start announcing that they plan to enter the portal, but it won't open until after conference championship weekend, and then they'll have a 30-day window. So between that, high school and JUCO recruits signing in the early signing period, it is going to be a busy few weeks here for Brian Kelly and company. And with them not playing in an SEC championship this year, gives you an extra week to recruit, to meet with the team. And Brian Kelly said they've already done a lot of preliminary exit meetings, meaning like talking to guys about going pro or what they think that next step is, but they'll dive a lot deeper into that here in the coming weeks. So just because the regular season's over does not mean the news will stop. I think it's going to start coming in a hurry.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see. I don't know. You know, we'll see what they're also looking for in the transfer portal. So I don't have anything else here. The women's basketball is up 2 going to the 4th. We'll see if they can close it out against Virginia. And yeah, sports never stops.
Shout out to everyone that obviously listened to us all year. Final look here. You predicted 34-21 LSU win, 13-point win. I predicted 38-27. That would have been an 11-point win. And Billy went 41-31. Once again, Billy was the one who takes it home. With the final being 42-32. So the guy who doesn't even cover the beat is beating us every week on our predictions, Matty B.
Yeah, we gotta stick it to him. I couldn't get him with the North Texas versus SMU, so we'll see. We'll see if Tulane versus SMU AAC championship game.
Yeah, Billy will be in New Orleans for that one. So
yeah, we'll be in New Orleans. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's it for me. The reaction pod will now, or I guess I should also say the reaction pod and the game preview pod will turn into the portal podcast moving forward. So stick with us each week for that. We'll have the weekly mailbag. We'll have the recruiting podcast each week and plenty to get to. So even though the season's over, the podcast will not stop. And the Bengal Tiger right now with promo code LSU1. Yeah. LSU in the number one for our YouTube and podcast subscribers. 2 months for $1 is what the membership will be or all it costs you to be a member of the Bengal Tiger, the On3 network right now. You can view every site out there, check in on any team, how their recruiting efforts are stacking up against LSU, kind of the scuttlebutt with all these coaching carousels that's going to happen all over the country. The On3 sites are the best. So much scoop, not just at the Bengal Tiger, but everywhere. But sign up for the Bengal Tiger right now. 2 months, $1. Use the promo code at checkout, LSU and the number one.
Yes, LSU one. I don't have the graphic anymore. It's
now they can listen to me. I said it.
There you go. All right. That's it. Thank you all for joining us. Leave us a like, comment, share, and subscribe to the YouTube if you have not already. Thank you to all of our subscribers. Yeah,
big shout out. Big shout out to everyone that listened all year.
Yeah, listened all year. We'll see what we do next, whether that is – I think there'll be plenty of news. So like, you know, on like a Wednesday or Thursday or whatever, we'll probably have enough news to do another podcast on the football team. So we'll see how all that plays out. But yeah, thank you all for joining us. We will talk to y'all later.